of appellants Jack and Mary Ann Lawson. Mary Ann Lawson is seated in the second row here with us this morning. Mr. Lawson, unfortunately, was ill and was unable to attend. This is an interlocutory appeal of an order of possession issued by the Superior Court in a condemnation action filed by DelDOT under the power of eminent domain. The Lawsons have three legal arguments for reversal. The first, which is probably the largest issue, is public need within a reasonable time. The court in the State Ex Rel Sharp case in 1955 held that the government may not take people's property by eminent domain unless they can show that they need the property within a reasonable time. We don't believe that there was any evidence to support that conclusion, and therefore reversal is warranted for that basis. The second reason is there were multiple violations of the Real Property Acquisition Act, or RPAA for short. That is a directory rule, but unless there's any excuse, dismissal without prejudice is warranted, and the Cartanza and other decisions have held that as a principle of law in Delaware. The third item is, or third argument, is that Superior Court erred by failing to allow some discovery, an evidentiary hearing, and then at the oral argument allowed last-minute evidence and hearsay evidence to be provided by DelDOT. Brief background, the Lawson's property is 10 acres. It's located on the south side of a road called Strawberry Lane, which is the first road north of the Maryland line off of existing Route 301. Their property has 450 feet of frontage on Strawberry Lane. The DelDOT taking will be approximately 100 feet deep, and it will be the entirety of the 450 feet of road frontage. That is critical because the property is zoned commercial regional, and DelDOT's own appraisal concluded that the highest and best use, both before and after the taking, was for commercial development. But the problem is that their property has no longer any frontage. It has a 12-foot driveway, which will go through the middle of the DelDOT stormwater retention pond. This retention pond will be at a lower elevation than Strawberry Lane, and there will essentially be an earthen berm that will meander in a serpentine fashion through the middle of it, and that is their sole means of access because they no longer have the inherent right to get access along any 450 feet of frontage because they have no road frontage.
Would it be possible to negotiate for more width for that what is now the 12-foot driveway?
It would be possible, but it was not forthcoming from DelDOT during the course of our discussions. And so we proceeded to a contested order of possession hearing, and at that time presented the very same arguments, in effect, that we're presenting on appeal, because at least as to arguments one and two, the standard of review is de novo.
I gather that the thrust of the relief that you're asking for is basically to undo the condemnation itself, that is, the taking.
We're seeking dismissal without prejudice. That is the typical relief. There may come a time in the future that DelDOT can show that it has construction funding so that it does need the property within a reasonable time. They could also go back and receive a valid appraisal, make a valid offer of just compensation, et cetera. So they can have a do-over, but they didn't do it right the first time.
This is just terminology that I've come up with, but there really seem to be two issues. One is jurisdictional. Should there be a condemnation, or was the condemnation process appropriately utilized in this case? And the second would be the amount of fair compensation for the taking. The argument, with the possible exception of your first argument, the response that I understand the other side is making is that the other errors that your client is complaining of really go to the issue of fair value, fair compensation, not jurisdiction.
Well, I don't think that's correct for two reasons. Number one, the RPAA is intended to avoid condemnations. In other words, it says every reasonable effort should be taken to resolve acquisitions by negotiation in order to avoid congestion in the courts and unnecessary litigation. It costs a lot of money for people to litigate cases.
You yourself said it's directory, not mandatory.
That's correct. However, we don't believe there's any excuse under these circumstances because early on in the negotiation process, a real estate agent advised DelDOT on behalf of the Lawsons that you could not develop the property after the taking commercially, and that therefore their appraisal was, in effect, invalid. I then got involved right before Thanksgiving of 2011 and advised Eldot of the very same facts before the condemnation was filed, while there were still discussions going on. The problem is their appraiser says the property's worth $55,000 before the taking, and it's worth $50,000 after, because, and he does not attribute any damages to the remainder as a result of the fact that you can no longer develop the property, the 8.5 acres left, the remainder, with commercial uses. The County Unified Development Code says we defer to DLDOT. DLDOT's own regulations say you must have a minimum 22-foot wide access road, and you can't build a 22-foot wide access road on a 12-foot driveway. It's just physically impossible.
But the driveway could be wide.
Maybe, but DLDOT has no legal obligation to approve that in the future. They could simply say no, number one. Number two, the DLDOT appraiser just, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
If they don't approve it.
Correct.
Then doesn't that simply increase the amount of damage that your clients would be entitled to recover?
No, because at that point in the future, down the road, because my clients live on Social Security, they're not developing the property. So down the road, when they sell the property and somebody else wants to develop it, that's the most logical purchaser, however many years that may be in the future, it's over. Once the condemnation case is concluded, you can't go back. Res judicata and collateral estoppel kick in.
How did DLDOT come up with 12 if they have this regulation? Why didn't they give them 22 feet to begin with?
Their explanation to me was they have a 12-foot driveway today. We're giving them a 12-foot driveway afterwards. And that's true, except that when you look at commercial development, it's a different ballgame. And as I said, If DLDOT had left them with 50 feet of frontage on the public road, then we probably wouldn't be here. But they didn't. They have no frontage. So they're landlocked for commercial purposes.
I'm a little bit confused here. As I understand it, there was 450 feet of road frontage, and that made the property viable for commercial use. But DLDOT took all but 12 feet of that, right, of the frontage?
They took all of it.
All right, but left an easement?
I'd say it's an implied easement, correct.
Okay.
Of 12 feet.
Correct.
All right. And you just said that you need 22 feet, is it?
Minimum.
For a commercial development?
Perhaps 32, but the minimum is 22.
Okay, well, here's my question. Let's assume DLDOT never showed up, and the owners or the buyers want to develop the property as commercial property. Wouldn't they have to get some sort of approval to create a 22-foot wide entranceway to this commercial development?
Correct. A subdivision plan would be filed. DLDOT would review it. They would comment on it to ensure that it met their minimum dimensional requirements. And with 450 feet of frontage, DLDOT would say you need to dedicate 50 feet. And then you have to actually put asphalt on 22. And with 450 feet of frontage, obviously there's more than sufficient road frontage to do that before the taking.
Okay, well, and that's what I'm trying to clarify in my own mind. You're saying that there would be no impediment to commercial development prior to this taking, because although there would need to be approval of a 22-foot entranceway and a 50-foot dedicated area, whatever, that would be pro forma approval that would be given without any restrictions because they have the property. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Under Delaware common law, a property owner that has frontage on a public road has an absolute right to gain access somewhere on that road. DLDOT regulates where you can put it. They like to keep it away from intersections. They like to have it line up with...
But that's not exactly what I'm talking about. DLDOT may have to allow access, but does DLDOT have to allow enough access for a commercial development there?
Yes. Otherwise, it would be a taking.
Okay.
So do I understand correctly that the nub of this dispute you know, not necessarily the legal part of it, but the economic part of it, is 50 feet versus the 12 that exists now.
Correct. And by way of example, if damages to the remainder were calculated, and let's just say residential land in the area is going for $25,000 an acre, then DLDOT would owe my clients an additional $240,000. So when they say, well, we got an appraisal, well, that's true. And the before the taking value is $550,000. We have no quibble with that. The problem is the after the taking value is based on the assumption of, quote, similar access, close quote, directly quoted their appraiser, and it says you can still develop the property commercially. That is legally impossible as a matter of law.
I think that in your comment, you may have answered a question that I asked before. You mentioned the figure $240,000, which I gather would, you know, represent the difference between the value of the remainder if there has been appropriate frontage and access, that is a 50-foot, and what in fact has been taken out, that is the remainder as it exists. Why isn't that an issue for a later proceeding to determine fair compensation?
Because it's our position that a legally invalid appraisal cannot constitute just compensation. It's not even a reasonable estimate of just compensation. It would be no different than if they said, I know your property is zoned commercial, but we're going to value it as if it's zoned residential, a fiction. And if they did an appraisal on that basis, they would offer us money, but it wouldn't be just compensation.
So your view of the law is that whenever a property owner whose land is condemned contends that the appraisal was improper, defective, whatever the adjective, that property owner is entitled to an evidentiary hearing on the jurisdictional issue of whether there should be a taking in the first place?
Yes, but our argument in regard to the evidentiary hearing also applies to the fact that DLDOT had no construction funding and therefore cannot, as a matter of law, show that they had any reasonable time need.
That's your first argument.
Correct. The bottom line is DLDOT's own secretary put a letter on their web page that said, we do not know how we're going to fund this project. It's a $543 million
okay, well,
estimated cost.
You're talking about argument number one. I think
correct.
I understand that.
All right.
But argument number two, you know, basically means that any landowner whose property is condemned could basically contest jurisdiction and force an evidentiary hearing where the issue is the adequacy of the appraisal.
I don't know that our evidence, it's a good point, Your Honor. I'm not sure that our evidentiary hearing argument goes to the RPAA. I think we have sufficient evidence without an evidentiary hearing on the RPAA issues.
Then what do you need an evidentiary hearing for?
For argument one. Because DLDOT's secretary, Your Honor, presented an affidavit.
You want to discover, you know, whether there's actually something that's is a matter of real-time fact in the works, or whether this is blue sky pipe dreams that won't get triggered for another 10 years or whatever, right?
Well, on the one hand, we had web postings and publications by DLDOT that said we don't have any money to build the road. On the other hand, we had an affidavit submitted by the secretary of DLDOT that said, oh, yes, we do. So we had a conflict in the record. It was our position that the court, Superior Court, should have held an evidentiary hearing to be able to evaluate the evidence and get to the truth. What are the facts? But we believe that the Capital Transportation Program, which is DLDOT's formal evaluation and commitment to funding, when it says we don't have any money, they don't have any money. And they didn't even know at the time of the order of possession hearing how they were going to pay for it. They had a study underway to evaluate if they could pay for it.
So am I correct then that your argument number three, which you couched in terms of failure to allow some discovery in an evidentiary hearing, really is a component of argument number one?
Correct.
It's not a separate
I think they can be considered in tandem. I agree. But as to the RPAA, the main point there, Your Honor, is that you have a valid appraisal, a legally valid appraisal, then we can't argue anything. The problem that they have in this instance is they do not have a legally valid appraisal, and if they did, we probably would have settled and the case would have never gone to court.
And your authority for the proposition that the validity or invalidity of an appraisal is a jurisdictional issue is what?
Well, for example, in the Cartanza decision, Superior Court decision by then Judge Ridgely, there was no appraisal at all. And I would contend that a legally invalid appraisal is the functional equivalent of no appraisal at all. Without an appraisal, you can't have a reasonable estimate of just compensation. That is mandatory that you offer, negotiate, and deposit a reasonable estimate of just compensation under the RPAA and under the Condemnation Act.
In Cartanza, the court found there was a jurisdictional issue because there was no appraisal.
Dismissal without prejudice. Yes.
Okay. And correct. Basically, you're saying this case is the functional equivalent of no appraisal.
Correct.
But is there any authority to support that jump?
Just the RPAA itself that says if you don't abide by these terms and you don't have a valid excuse, then dismissal without prejudice is warranted. Two other Superior Court decisions, then Judge Steele in the State versus Dorsbach decision. There were some technical problems with they didn't meet the appraiser, they didn't take enough time to negotiate, dismissal without prejudice. In the Amin versus State case, a decision by Judge Witham a few years ago, the argument there was that similar to what we're arguing here. If you don't have an excuse, then those directory provisions of the RPAA are grounds for dismissal without prejudice.
Quick question. You talked about not having a legally valid appraisal. Is there a definition of what is a, quote, legally valid appraisal, what it has to have in it?
Well, it has to determine what the highest and best use of the property is after the taking. In Acherno versus State, this court once again held that the before and after rule applies to partial taking cases. So you have to have a highest and best use. In this case, their appraiser said, highest and best use after the taking, commercial development.
Right.
So the entire premise of the appraisal was that you could commercially develop the property after the taking. Since that's legally impossible, then the entire appraisal fails.
But you're telling me that there is no definition of what constitutes a legally valid appraisal in terms of case law or?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. I reserve the remaining portion of my time.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Before you get into it, can I just start where I left off? How is it that you can submit an appraisal that says the value of this property is based upon its highest and best use, which is commercial, when in fact, after the taking, it would not be able to be used commercially?
Well, that's factually inaccurate,
okay,
Your Honors.
Why?
Because DelDOT considered the contentions of the appellant and had its engineers, the person who's responsible for granting or denying a commercial entrance, which is necessary for commercial property, analyze the situation, and he said that it's not impossible for the remainder to be granted a commercial entrance after the taking.
And how did he determine that? And what assurances have been given to the Lawsons that'll be available to them?
Well, DelDOT can't make any assurances. What DelDOT, during the negotiation process, after they came up with this theory, DelDOT said, look, we don't think that's right, but give us specific plans. If you have something you want to do, submit us specific plan so that we can evaluate it, and then we can make a decision.
They're not ready to develop today. So what you're saying is, you know, we don't think you're right, but we're not willing to put anything in writing so that at a future time a buyer can say, oh, good, I can buy this land for commercial development because I know that I'm going to be able to develop it commercially. You're not providing them with that. You're just saying, well, we think it could be done. Show us some plans.
Well, DelDOT doesn't provide anyone under any circumstances with any guarantees without specific plans to evaluate. And
well, just tell us the norm then. In, you know, the everyday world, if you wanted to develop something commercially, would you need 50 feet?
In the normal everyday world, the guidelines provide for the width of the driveway, as Mr. Abbott said, has to be 22 feet.
22 but, paved.
Right, but right. That's not solely determinative. And the engineer, the guy who
wait a second. I'll let you answer completely. I just need to understand the general rules. So you need 22 feet of surface to ride on, but that needs to be in the middle of 50 feet.
Yes. But the situation here is that he's only talking about the frontage. This is a 10-acre property. After the taking, they'll still have 8.5 acres. The entrance does not have to be on Strawberry Lane. They can move it to the back of the property. They can move it to the side of the property. They can move it anywhere. A commercial developer could still develop this property by moving the location.
Are the 10 acres all on other roads besides Strawberry Lane?
Well, it's a property that sits back off of Strawberry Lane. DelDOT is taking 1.5 acres, as he said, 450 feet along the frontage. But there's 8.5 acres that go around. So a developer could put in a service road that comes from the back of the property up to Strawberry Lane, and there are plenty of circumstances under which a commercial interest could be granted.
When you get to Strawberry Lane, though, how wide does it have to be in the normal run-of-the-mill thing?
Justice, I am not versed enough in all the nuances of the code, but I can only tell you that we had the engineer, the person who does this, who grants or denies these applications, take a look at it and say that there are plenty of other possibilities for there to be granted a commercial entrance.
Where is that in the record? What's the appendix page?
Well, we had our engineers at the hearing ready to testify, and Judge Parkins decided that he didn't want to hold a full-blown evidentiary hearing, and the court...
Is it on the record or not?
It is not specifically, other than the fact that through... Judge Parkins allowed me to consult with the engineers, and I advise the court.
Testimony that's referred to in the other side's brief.
That's what he refers to as whisper testimony, okay. Justice.
Well, I just, you know, before getting to the legal issue, I just want to make sure I understand the facts on the ground. At present, that is before the condemnation, this property was zoned for commercial development.
It's zoned commercial regional. And
all right, zoned commercial regional. But it has only a 12-foot driveway access. At this point, the owners are content to leave it that way because they haven't decided to develop it, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, along comes DelDOT, and DelDOT condemns the property. Based on an appraisal that basically preserves the status quo, that is, that does not presuppose that this property, is configured by whatever frontage is being taken, can be developed as a commercial property.
That is not correct, Justice. DelDOT appraisal.
If that's wrong, then why didn't DelDOT do an appraisal based on a hypothetical driveway that would have 22 feet of pavement and another 25 feet or whatever of shoulder? That is 50 feet.
Well, DelDOT did do that appraisal. DelDOT says that the highest and best use of the property prior to the taking is commercial regional, and the highest and best use after the taking is commercial regional. He's claiming that the value that we attach to the after-taking value is too low because it's impossible for the for the property to be developed commercially. He's not saying that we didn't.
Well, he's saying that it's impossible for the property to be developed commercially because there was no provision in the condemnation itself for a 50-foot access, as would be required, you know, under the commercial development regulations. Is that correct?
I don't believe that's correct.
Okay, what is the fact?
He is contesting valuation, and that's what really this case is about. He is trying to circumvent the condemnation procedure.
I understand that, but I need to know the answer to my question.
Yes,
because he's saying that the reason your valuation is so low is that you didn't allow for enough frontage so that the land could be developed commercially with the appropriate amount of, with the appropriate driveway width. That either is correct or it's not.
We believe that's incorrect. We believe that we took the proper steps in appraising this property. We hired an independent
Let me go at it another way. Let's assume that this property was zoned residential, and for all intents and purposes, that's all it could be used for. It's just a hypothetical assumption, okay? And DelDOT is taking a portion of that property and does an appraisal that says this property is highest and best use is commercial, and it could be used for commercial property, even though, as a matter of fact, the zoning would not permit it. Let's just assume that there were such an appraisal, okay? Would you agree that that would be a legally invalid appraisal and not one on which you could rely in terms of determining a condemnation price?
I under that circumstance, yes, because the appraised value it's impossible because the zoning is wrong.
But that's not the situation
we have here.
That's just perhaps a clearer example of what I understand the argument to be, which is that DelDOT has presented an appraisal that does not reflect what the property owner would ultimately be able to do with that property. And your answer, if I understand it, is, well, we think it would be possible if somebody shows us some plans, there could be a way of doing it. Is that adequate?
Keep in mind that what the statute provides, the condemnation provides, is that DelDOT has to provide an appraisal, a good faith offer of just compensation based on its belief of just compensation. And DelDOT did what the statute requires. It went out, it hired an independent appraiser to go out, review this property, conduct his appraisal. That appraisal was reviewed and approved by a second duly licensed and certified appraiser.
Let me try it another way. Does the appraisal say, after the taking, this property would be able to be developed commercially in the following manner? You could do X, Y, Z in this location, that location, another location.
No, it doesn't, Your Honor, because no appraisals are that specific. It just says that the appraisals determine what's the highest and best use of a property both before and after.
Okay, but doesn't highest and best use presume that that use is available? I mean, you can't say highest and best use may be whatever, and your property doesn't have the proper qualifications for it.
Well, there's so many hypotheticals because there's no guarantees that today they could develop their property commercially.
Okay.
They would have to submit specific plans that would have to be evaluated.
Let me stop you. Do you agree that in saying a highest and best use is commercial, implicit in that statement is that one could actually use the property for commercial use?
Well, highest and best use is based on a number of factors, and zoning is just one of those factors.
So you're answering me yes or no?
My answer is that it could be, but zoning by itself is not determinative of highest and best use.
I'd like to try my earlier question in a different format. In this particular case, is it true that normally, if you want to develop something commercially, you need 50 feet of width and a 22-foot paved road? That's what you normally would need?
Yes, Your Honor.
So in this case, they're going to wind up with 12 feet.
They will wind up with 12 feet along the frontage. They will still have 8.5 acres of property.
And what other roads does the 8.5 acres front on?
There is no other frontage,
the only road you're going to get in from is the existing road.
Well, you could run a road from another location on the property to the frontage.
And when you get there, what's the width you need?
The width itself is not determinative, but they could, with respect to the width onto Strawberry Lane, my understanding is that could be adjusted by DLDOT.
No, I understand, and that's perfect. So let's just stay with what you just said. Could be adjusted by DLDOT. What we're told by Mr. Abbott is, if you've got 50 feet and you're willing to pave 22 and you do all the other things, things just fall into place. You seem to agree that there's an approval process, but basically that's correct. Your answer just indicated to me that when you don't have 50 feet, DLDOT could still approve it, but you need DLDOT's permission. So Mr. Abbott's point is, you're taking my property, you're leaving me with 12 feet, and you're leaving me at the mercy of DLDOT. If I had 50 feet, all I'd have to do is comply with the other regulations. Why isn't, do you agree that in essence, if you leave them with 12 feet, they're going to have to rely on DLDOT recognizing some exception?
I agree that they will have to rely on DLDOT for approval, as they would
approval from, as an exception to the 50 feet.
I don't believe it's an exception. It is like any subdivision plan, that it depends upon what they're doing. It depends on the circumstances. But if there isn't 22 feet and the code requires 22 feet, yes, DLDOT would have to say there is reason to deviate in this instance.
All right. So you only have 4.5 minutes left. Let me ask you a question on a different subject.
Sure.
Does DLDOT have the money to go forward with this project?
Yes.
And where do we see that in the record?
Yes. Well, in the record, you had a affidavit from Secretary Batt in specific response to the contentions made by the appellants, in which Secretary Batt stated, and I quote, "Significant federal and state funds have already been appropriated to begin the acquisition and construction phases of the U.S. 301 project, and DLDOT has been legislatively mandated to acquire the property interests necessary for the U.S. 301 project." In addition, there was an affidavit from Mr. Abbott himself that was in the record, that was attached to their filings, in which he admitted that over $59 million in state Garvey bonds had already been issued to fund the U.S. project, and additional amounts were on hand to perform project development and design. DLDOT has already spent over $60 million on this project. This isn't a pipe dream. Unlike the Quartanza case, this is a project where there are definite plans, there's appropriations, there's a schedule. This thing is moving. Even since our hearing, DelDOT's been working. They've even started working on the Lawson's property. I mean, this thing is moving.
One question. I mean, I think it's uncontested that the highest and best use of the property for appraisal or condemnation purposes is, you know, what it's currently zoned for.
Yes.
Secondly, there was an appraisal.
Yes.
That was obtained by DelDOT. My question is, did the appraisal presuppose or make any assumptions about the width, the specific width of the driveway post-appraisal?
The contentions raised by the appellates were brought to the appraiser's attention, and we asked him, would that change his appraisal, and he said no.
Well, that's not a clear answer to my question.
What width
was presupposed by the appraiser in arriving at whatever the number turned out to be?
He did not consider any specific width of it, because that's just not something that they typically do. His evaluation is, okay, can this property be developed as commercial regional in the future? And he had an engineer that was telling him, yes, it can be developed as commercial regional in the future. And so thus, his determination of highest and best use did not change.
So can we correctly infer that the appraisal contemplated up to a 50-foot width or not?
I think what we can infer is that there was no conclusive evidence that this property could not be developed as commercial regional in the future.
So there's basically the issue is not addressed.
I believe that the issue was addressed, but that the engineer and the appraiser just disagreed with their contentions.
I don't want you to leave without an opportunity to address the court's questions. And the thrust of our questions is, could this, if you leave them with 12 feet, could it be developed without an exception from DelDOT, or would it require an exception from DelDOT? And it's just that simple.
I believe that it would require DelDOT. If we're talking about just the 12 feet along the frontage,
correct,
it would require an exception from DelDOT. But we don't believe that the entrance has to be along the frontage. The entrance can be moved to other areas of the property.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Robert, can you tell us, is there any place else to put an entrance besides on this 450 feet?
No, there is not. There's no other frontage on any other road. They have to go through the stormwater pond.
But opposing counsel said, we understand that the rest of the property is not on existing streets. That doesn't mean you couldn't build a road that went around to another part of the property.
If DelDOT were to grant an easement, just like any other owner, there's no automatic entitlement to go through DelDOT's land.
So once DelDOT owns all of the 450 feet except 12, you're not going to do anything anywhere without DelDOT's agreement.
Correct. And we don't even own the 12, or the Lawsons don't own the 12. As I say, I'm saying there's an implied easement because DelDOT shows it on their plans, and they're saying, we're going to build you a driveway, therefore the implication. Yes, Your Honor.
The questions, the thrust of the questions that I was asking opposing counsel were, you know, go to your point about the 50 versus 12-foot driveway. It was my impression, perhaps incorrect, from your comments earlier, that the appraisal presupposes a 12-foot and not a 50-foot driveway. Mr. Williams says that's not a correct impression. What's the fact, if there is a fact?
The only thing that the appraisal says is that, quote, similar access, close quote, will be provided after the taking. That is factually inaccurate. It is accurate that they have a 12-foot driveway before and a 12-foot driveway after, but not in the context of the highest and best use. And before my time runs out, I want to make sure the court knows that A-358 of the appendix, there's a discussion of a highest and best use, and Mr. Brown, DelDOT's appraiser, says it must be legally permissible. So without legal permissibility, in other words, an invalid appraisal or an invalid assumption of highest and best use in the after the taking, this entire appraisal report fails.
So now, what are the implications if you prevail on that point? Where does that leave us? That you're still going to lose possession of the property and you're going to be discussing a price, or what's the remedy you're seeking?
Dismissal without prejudice. That is the customary.
And where does that leave the possession of the property?
Then DelDOT has an opportunity to go back, obtain a new appraisal, commence negotiations, file a new condemnation.
It's vacating the condemnation without prejudice to start a new one.
Correct. Vacating the order of possession, Your Honor.
And what's the status quo on the property? Mr. William tells us they've already started.
They may have moved some utility poles. I don't think that's an issue. That's not a problem. I can assure you, based on conversations with Mrs. Lawson, they have not begun constructing anything. Right. They're going to be building a overpass. Strawberry Lane will run over 301. So the elevation in front of their after-the-taking property will be raised. None of that road work is underway.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments. The court will take this matter under advisement, and we'll also take a brief recess.
Thank you.